Hello, my name is Father Alejandro, and this is my reflection for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Over the last three Sundays, the Church and the Lord have been preparing us for what's coming next Sunday, for Palm Sunday, in which we'll see Jesus choose to die for us, choose to suffer for us. These last 3 weeks, it's been an exposition of the things that the circumstances and the choices that normally make or break a person's faith life by breaking our heart. The first is the Samaritan woman 3 weeks ago. She represents the first of those common ways in which we're brought to that crossroads of faith, to that breaking of our heart. She represents our struggle with continuous, repetitive grave sin. And some of us are there. Some of us are struggling with a sin that we just can't seem to beat. The second is the man born blind, and he represents the other crossroads of faith, which is, what do I do when illness strikes, when hardship strikes? What do I do when the unfairness of life has beaten me down? If you notice, the man born blind, he's so beaten down, he doesn't even ask for help. It's Jesus that approaches him. The Samaritan woman, her heart is so broken from sin, from repetitive sin, that when Jesus is literally standing in front of her, all she has is cynicism and sarcasm, and she's jaded. Her sin has hardened her heart. But the last is death. There's nothing harder for people, for us, when someone we love dies. We see Martha and Mary, how they deal with it. The reason this is so important is because it reminds me of my own journey with the Lord. A few years ago, one of my brothers passed away, died in a car wreck. And I remember the intense pain of grief, of my heart breaking. I remember when my dad called me to go to let me know. I had a funeral the next morning, so I couldn't go right away. I had to go be with a family that was themselves mourning, and I had to keep it together so that I could minister to them and be the presence of God to them, and then got on the road to go be with my family. I had never experienced something so visceral. The intense pain of a broken heart. When I got there and we were comforting each other and praying for each other, but that intense pain has a way of becoming like a barrier, just like the cynicism of that comes with repetitive sin calluses our hearts to God, just like the exhaustion of illness, hardship, pain, and the unfairness of life makes us numb to God. I remember I told my dad I didn't trust myself to celebrate my brother's funeral, so he asked a brother priest of mine to celebrate it, Father Jack Vu. But I did tell him I wanted to preach, and I kept thinking, man, what am I gonna say? Right now, I don't even know what to think. I don't even know what to believe. So the day before the funeral, I asked my dad for his permission to go and to grab his keys and open the church, our local parish. And I went and I spent 5 hours sitting there in prayer. And in that space of personal encounter with Christ, sitting and kneeling and praying and just opening myself to the Lord, putting my broken heart on full display, nothing hidden, naked without shame in front of God, the Lord finally spoke. The Lord finally spoke in that moment. And I remember in the intensity of that moment, with all my pain, with all my sorrow, with all my grief, I got to the crossroads that we all get to when we're in one of these situations. And I remembered Martha and Mary. I remember that moment when the Lord confronted me with, hey, it's easy to believe when it's all going well. It's easy to follow me when it's all honky-dory. But do you really believe I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live? And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? The same words that he speaks to Martha. The same words that he speaks to Martha. Do you believe I am he? I am the Savior. The same words he speaks to the man born blind. The same revelation he gives to the Samaritan woman. You see, in the end, what I had to remember is that as personal as my brother's death is for me, it is even more so for the Lord. For God, it's all personal. And that's the name of the game, a personal relationship with each human being, with you and me and every sinner. He wants all of us. He wants for us to be as honest as the Samaritan woman is at the end, who confesses her sin, as open as the man born blind is with him, who lets him touch the source of his pain, of his hardship, as open, as honest, as vulnerable as Martha and Mary, who as their first response to the situation at hand was to go to prayer, to call to God. Quite literally, they call on Jesus. They send for him. So this is how I want you to see these last 3 weeks. They are preparing us for next week, so that when we are seeing Jesus being beaten down and condemned and rejected and nailed to the cross, what we see is he is choosing that, not for a stranger, not because he doesn't know you, but because he knows you. He's choosing to die for you. He wants to make it personal. And for a lot of us, the life of faith, the reason that these moments break us, that continuous grave sin breaks us, that the unfairness of life breaks us, that death breaks us, is because we have yet to make our faith personal. a personal encounter with Christ? How many of us can honestly say, I have truly stood there in the fullness of honesty with God and just opened my whole heart? The truth is that we are happy to wrap ourselves around with the rituals of our faith, with the prayers of our faith, with the bells and sounds and whistles of our faith. But in the end, those things are hollow without a personal relationship with Christ. Because what they all are, they are expressions of a relationship. You see, for God, this is all personal. Because you are his child. For him, the sin of the Samaritan woman is personal because she is precious to him. The blindness of the man born blind and being destitute, living in the streets, that's personal for him because that's his child. For Martha and Mary, those are his friends, his children. Lazarus is his beloved friend. For God, it's personal. The question is it personal for you? Is that relationship just kind of metaphorical, where I just give a kind of mental assent to God, or have I allowed it to truly get personal with God? Because it sure is for him. Your salvation is personal for him. Personal enough to allow himself to be tortured, condemned though innocent, and bound, humiliated, and crucified. Make it personal. Make it at least as personal as God has made you for him. That's my invitation to us this week.